Hello and welcome to the Anchor Wellness Podcast. My name is Niamh Hayes and I am the founder and coach at Anchor Wellness. This podcast is all about giving you information and tips about physical, mental and emotional health and well-being. I want to share my knowledge with you. I want to share other people's knowledge with you and give you practical information and tools that you can implement into your own life so that you can be the happiest and healthiest version of you. So this is my first solo podcast and I wanted to chat to you about negative thinking and how it is actually affecting your health, both your physical, mental and emotional health. So you have anywhere between 50 and 70,000 thoughts per day. Now 90% of those are unconscious, so they're stored in your unconscious mind. They're habitual. That means that they're the same thoughts that you had yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. That means that you spend much of your day on autopilot, thinking the same thing over and over again. Now to add to that, about 85% of your daily thoughts are negative. That means that the majority of the thoughts that you are thinking day after day are negative. So no wonder most of us are negative thinkers. But to be fair, it's not our fault. Our brains are wired for negativity bias. So this means that negative thoughts, feelings, behaviors and events, they have a much more powerful psychological and physiological response within us than positive ones do. So even if we have a really great day, say you're at work and you have a great day, you're getting on it well with everyone, you're meeting your deadlines, but you get one negative comment from your boss, you will actually nearly forget about all the positive things that happen throughout your day and you will solely focus on that one negative comment. I'm sure most of you can resonate with that, but that's because our brains are wired for negativity bias. Now, this is likely due to evolution, okay? So when our ancestors were on the lookout for danger and threats when they were out hunting and gathering, so those who were more attuned to the dangers and threats that were around them, those who were dwelling on the negative things that could go wrong, they were the ones that were more likely to survive rather than those who were happy out, thinking positive all the time, nothing's going to happen to me. They were the ones that were caught off guard by predators. So even though we, our brains, our bodies, our nervous systems have developed an awful lot since then, we still have that part of the brain, the survival part known as the reptilian brain. So this negativity bias that is wired into our brain, this leads to things like, you know, thinking the worst, always dwelling on the negative or expecting the worst from others. It causes you to ruminate over past events, you know, going over and over what I should have done this, should have done that, or negatively anticipating future events. So actually worrying about what's to come before it even happens, thinking something won't work out before you even do it, and therefore letting it negatively impact your decision making and choices. You know, if you have a big decision to make and you're already thinking, oh, sure, that's not going to work, I can't do that, I'm not good enough, that's going to impact the choice or the decision you make about that. It also causes us to develop bad impressions or first impressions of people. And then it's really hard once you have that first bad impression of someone, it's hard to actually let that go. So negativity bias in your brain causes all these things. Now, when it comes to your thoughts, you have a thought and that thought influences how you feel and what emotions you experience. And your feelings and emotions then influence your behaviors, so what you actually do. And those behaviors turn into your habits because you're doing them over and over again, and your habits create your reality. So if you are predominantly a negative thinker, this is affecting the feelings and emotions you're experiencing, it's affecting the behaviors you do, and it's actually creating a negative reality for you. Okay, and who wants to live in a negative reality? Like, I know that I do not want to do that. But it's a lot of us, we are living in that negative reality because we're having so many negative thoughts, we're staying focused on them, they're creating negative emotions, negative feelings, negative behaviors that aren't conducive to the life we want to live, and it's creating a really negative reality for us. So your brain is always receiving information. So it receives information from your external environment through your senses. So your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, and your skin. It's also receiving information from your internal environment. So all the cells, all the organs, all the functions and processes that are going on in your body. It's receiving information through a process called interoception. It's also receiving information from your thoughts, okay? So the brain is gathering all this information and needs to decide what happens next. And it's the brain then that sends signals to your body to respond or to react in a certain way depending on what it has decided needs to be done. Now, the brain doesn't know, even though it's really, really smart, it doesn't know the difference between what's real or what's imagined. So if you are thinking about something, whether it's a past event or a future worry, maybe it's something that's happening right in reality in front of you, or it's something that you're just thinking about. So say, for instance, you're seeing a fire, a building on fire in front of you, that's a reality. But if you're not seeing it, but you're only thinking about a building being on fire, your brain will think it's happening now. It can't decipher between what's actually happening in reality and what you're thinking about. So your brain thinks that event is happening now, and you are going to experience the emotions, the feelings, and the associated chemical and physiological reactions in your body as if it is happening right now. So if you're thinking the worst of something, if you're thinking that something bad is going to happen, your brain is telling your body that that is happening right now, and it gets you ready to respond to that thing. Now, the sending of information from your brain to your body and the corresponding responses and reactions is called the mind-body connection. And it is through this pathway that our negative thoughts are affecting our health. So it doesn't matter whether your negative thinking is about yourself, another person, about a situation or event, or about something in the past, the present, or the future, whether it's real or something you're imagining, it all has the same effect on your health. If you've been following me online, you would know that I talk a lot about stress, the nervous system, and the stress response states. Now, your stress responses are the sympathetic or fight or flight system, and the parasympathetic, which is the social engagement, or the freeze and shutdown states. So the different states come into effect when your brain perceives there to be a threat. So a threat to your safety. So these threats can be something that your brain receives from the external environment through your senses. So it's seeing something, it's hearing something, it's smelling something, tasting something, or touching something that is a threat to your survival. Or it could be receiving that threat from your internal environment. So your interoception, so what's going on in your bodily processes and functions, in your cells, in your organs, or what is going on in your thoughts. So your negative thoughts, no matter what they are about, can be seen as threats by your brain. And what does your brain do when it senses a threat? It initiates the stress response state. So thanks to your negative thinking, you are putting yourself in the fight or the flight or the freeze or the shutdown or collapse states. We know that these stress response states are critical for our survival. So we use them every single day. We move in and out of the different states, and they help us to overcome our daily lives, our daily challenges. So they're really important for our survival, for our health, that we're going in and out of these states. Even getting up out of bed in the morning, that involves a little bit of sympathetic or fight or flight activation. You know, if you're in the car and there's a car coming towards you and you have to swerve, again, that's a bit of activation of the sympathetic state. Sometimes you need to go into a bit of freeze or shutdown state in terms of resting and recuperating. So it's really important that we go in and out of these states and that we have a flexible nervous system to do it. But the problem lies when we get stuck in these states, or if we spend the majority of our time in these states. So we want to have a flexible nervous system that we always come back to balance or homeostasis, or the social engagement part of the parasympathetic nervous system. So we want to be able to come back here because that's where health and growth and restoration occur. But if we're spending the majority of our time in fight or flight or in freeze or shutdown, that's where the problem lies, and that's where our health can start to suffer. So when a threat comes along, whether that's real or imagined, whether it's something from your external environment, your internal body environment, or your thoughts, remember that's what this podcast is all about, it's your negative thoughts. So your brain decides that there's something not right here, we're in danger, our survival is in danger. So it initiates the sympathetic activation. So what that means is there's a release of cortisol, there's a release of adrenaline, and we get a spike of energy because, thanks to our ancestors who are hunting and gathering, this stress response was developed in order to get us to run away or to fight a predator. So our body reacts as if we're about to fight or run away from something. And because our brain and nervous system still has that part that our hunter-gatherer ancestors had, we still get the same fighting or running away response even when there's nothing chasing us, when there's not a predator. So again, those predators can be our thoughts. So if we get sympathetic activation, we get a burst of energy. The blood leaves our core, midline, our abdomen area and goes out to our arms and our legs to get us ready to fight something or to run away from something. Our heart rate increases, our breathing increases, our blood pressure increases. We are solely focused on that one thing that we need to run away from or fight. So we get this thing called tunnel vision. So we start to lose our concentration on the bigger picture. So that might start affecting your cognitive functioning. So you can't concentrate. You're only focused on this one thing. You're ruminating over this negative thing, this threat that's happening. Okay. And remember, this is all happening because we're having a negative thought. And you can imagine if your heart rate is increased or elevated for a long time, if your blood pressure is increased for a long time, if the blood isn't running through your midline as it should do, through your organs in your midline, and it's going out to your limbs, then you're going to have problems with your digestion, with your liver, with your kidneys, with your heart. So if you've elevated heart rate, elevated blood pressure, you're going to have problems with your heart, okay? And this is why prolonged or chronic stress is linked to things like cardiovascular disease, to lung problems, to kidney problems, to lots of cancers, to digestive problems, to skin problems. There's so many health issues that can occur from you being in that chronic state or fight or flight. And remember, your negative thinking can keep you in that state. It can also show up in mental health problems. So again, you're solely focused on that one threat and you cannot think about anything else. You cannot concentrate on anything else. So your cognitive functioning starts to suffer and you might become really anxious, and that's changing the way your brain is functioning. And what does that do? That leads to mental health problems. Then the other side of it, we're obviously talking about negative thinking as a threat now. So if you're continuing to think negatively and your brain decides we can't fight or we can't run away from this threat, this is too much for us, then it's going to initiate the freeze response, which is where you still have all that sympathetic energy, you have that burst of energy, you have that elevated heart rate and breathing rate and blood pressure. The blood is still in your muscles and limbs getting you ready to fight or run away. But your system starts to shut down or slow down. So you get this freeze response. You're like a deer stuck in headlights. So this means you have all this energy, but you can't do anything about it. And again, of course, things are going to happen to your health in this instance. And then if the threat is too much again, what happens is you're going to go into the shutdown or collapse state. So your brain is actually going to tell your body, okay, we're under too much threat here. There's too much going on. We're overwhelmed. We need to actually play dead. We need to slow down. We need to shut down all your bodily processes. And what happens? You end up with depressive feelings, you end up feeling helpless and hopeless. Your bodily processes start shutting down. So your digestive system starts shutting down. Your immune system starts shutting down. You end up getting sick. And that can show up in any area of your life. Your immune system isn't functioning properly. So it could show up again in digestive problems, skin problems, heart problems, lung problems, liver problems, skin issues. I think I mentioned that already. You might end up getting sick over and over again. So if you're getting sick a lot, if you're getting colds and flus, if you're if you're tired all the time and you feel like you need to rest, it might show up as you procrastinating a lot, that you know what you need to do, but you just can't do it. You have nothing to look forward to. You can't set goals. So your physical and mental health, once again, is being affected by the threats that are coming into your brain in the form of the thoughts that you are thinking. It's really important to note that you don't consciously get to decide which stress response state you go into, or whether one gets initiated at all in the first place. That is outside your conscious control. It's because it's governed by the autonomic nervous system, which is automatic. You go into it, you cannot say or put your foot down and say, no, I'm not going to fight or flight, or I'm not going to freeze or shut down. Your brain is the one who decides whether the threat is sufficient enough to put you into these states. So you can't control which one gets activated or which one you go into, but you can, there are things you can do to get you back into the social engagement or homeostasis state. So to move out of fight or flight or freeze or shut down, there are things you can do. So things like focusing on your breathing, making sure you extend your exhale, because when you extend your exhale, you're activating your vagus nerve, which brings you back into that social engagement state. It switches off or dampens down the sympathetic activation. You also need to release the energy from the sympathetic or freeze state. So what I mentioned earlier, you get this burst of energy that gets you ready to free or to run away or to fight. So that energy is swimming around in the cells of your body. So you need to actually move that energy through your body. You do that through movement, through breath, through somatics. So that's a really key important part to getting your nervous system regulated and back to the social engagement state. So there are conscious things that you can do to heal your nervous system and to move out of these stress response states. So your breath, through somatics, movement of your body, through spending time outdoors, getting proper sleep, getting daylight into your eyes and onto your skin every day, eating nutritious food, making sure you're moving and exercising. All these things add up, and plus the quality of your relationships in your life and having a sense of belonging, a sense of meaning in life. All these things contribute to the functioning of your nervous system. You want your nervous system to be flexible, to be able to move in and out of these states. And again, there's certain things that are within your control that will get you back to that homeostatic state that you want to be in. But if we're chronically stuck in fight or flight or freeze or shutdown, and we have a constant influx of cortisol and adrenaline, that's where our health problems come in. And then if we're chronically stuck in these states for weeks and weeks and weeks, or months and months, or years and years, which a lot of people are, you become cortisol resistant, your immune system starts gets totally out of whack then. So that's where the real issue comes in, when your immune system stops functioning and it's not able to fight anything that comes in, any bugs, any viruses. There's just too much going on. The cortisol can't help out, and that's when serious health issues will come into play. Because this podcast is all about negative thinking and how that's affecting your health, let's look at ways that you can try and minimize your negative thinking. There's always going to be an element of it because of our brains being wired for negativity bias, because of the fact that 85% of our thoughts are negative. But there's lots of things that you can do to stop them running in the background. Because even if those negative thoughts are running in the background, thanks to your unconscious mind, and you're not consciously aware of them, your brain is still receiving the information. Your brain is still receiving that threat. It's still initiating the stress response. So you're still having all these health issues even if you're consciously not aware of it. So the important thing is to make the unconscious conscious, is to actually start listening to your thoughts. And I shared a little bit about this on Instagram during the week. So how you do that is, when you're in the middle of any situation, no matter if you're sitting down watching TV, if you're scrolling on your phone, if you're in a meeting at work, if you're sitting in traffic, most of us have such an outer focus on what's going on around us that we're not even listening to ourselves anymore. So you need to pause and you need to ask yourself, what am I actually thinking right now? What is going on? Am I judging the person that's across from me? Am I having negative self-talk about myself? What is it that you're actually saying to yourself? When you start to listen in and bring your conscious awareness to what's running in the background, that's when you make the unconscious conscious. That's when you start to realize how much negative thinking you're actually doing. And that's only then, when you realize how you're thinking, that's when you can make a change and decide to change things, okay? But if you're just running an autopilot, running around with this outer focus and all this stuff is running in the background, that's still going to negatively affect your health. And that's why it's so important to actually create pauses in your life, slow down and actually listen in to what you're saying. So the next time you're scrolling on your phone and you stop on a picture or video, and you might just be, you know, watching it, you're not even taking any notice, just pause and actually listen into what you're saying. So it's probably likely that you're judging the other person or judging yourself or comparing yourself to that person. Okay, next time you're sitting in traffic and you feel like you're going to be late for something, pause and listen into what you're saying. So you might be getting really angry and aggressive, and you might be worried that you're going to be late for something and that's going to affect somebody else, or it's going to affect your work or meet your deadline, or it's going to make you late for an appointment. And you might start to be like, oh wait, I'm actually thinking, oh, I'm going to be late for my appointment, the person I'm meeting is going to think I'm terrible that I didn't leave enough time, oh, I'm not good enough, I can't get anything right. So there's this spiral of negative thinking going on. So the only way you're going to start listening to that is if you actually pause, spend time in quietness, and they'll actually come up. There's another few things that you can do. So journaling. So if you grab a piece of paper, you don't actually have to have a focus for your journaling, just free write. So you know, if you really need a topic, you can say, oh, how my day went today could be the headline, and then you just write and write, and don't try and stop yourself or prevent yourself from writing down anything. Just free write. Allow your hand and the pen to move as it wants. And you will start to realize all this negative stuff again that's circling and spiraling in your mind, and which is going to your brain. Your brain's deciding it's a threat, or it might be deciding it's a threat. And again, it's initiating those stress responses. You're getting stuck in those stress responses. That's affecting your physical and mental health. So journaling, meditating is another one, because meditating, you're creating a quiet space, you're creating a pause to allow your thoughts to come to the fore, and then you can start to listen to what's actually going on. Remember, meditating isn't about stopping your thoughts, because that cannot happen. It's about actually creating that quietness to allow you to listen into what those thoughts are, what the quality of those thoughts are. And once you realize that, again, that's when you can decide that you can, or that's when you know that you can do something about it, when you know what's actually going on. So when you start to actually listen in to your self-talk, into your thinking, and when you start to realize that, oh yeah, wait a second, there's a lot of negative thinking going on, there's a few things you can do to start to change that. So the first thing is a simple question you're going to ask yourself. So if you catch yourself in a negative thought or in a spiral of negative thinking, you're going to ask yourself, is it true? Just one sentence. Is it true? What I'm thinking right now, whether that's, oh, that person looks terrible, or that person is judging me, or I'm not good enough, whatever that negative thought is, I'm going to be late, that person's going to hate me. Ask yourself, honestly ask yourself, is it true? And the majority of the time is the answer is going to be no. So once you figure out the answer to is it true a couple of times, keep doing that for the first time or the first few times that you start to notice your negative thinking. Then you are going to further that a little bit more. And I want you to think of the word think, so T-H-I-N-K, and you're going to ask yourself five questions. So when you come across a negative thought that you're having, you're going to ask yourself again, is it true? Yes or no. Is it helpful? Yes or no. Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Whether that's to myself or to others. So T-H-I-N-K, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? The next practice, which will help you to change your negative thinking, again, so it always starts with you listening in, creating pause in your life, listening in to your thoughts, your self-talk, becoming aware of yourself, developing your self-awareness. Only then can you tune into your negative talk, your negative self-talk, your negative thinking, and then you can change it. So this is another practice. So what you're going to do is, number one, is you are going to catch the thought. Okay, so if you recognize that you're having a negative thought, that recognition is you catching it. Okay, the next thing you're going to do is challenge it. So that's asking yourself, is it true? Do I actually have evidence to support this thought? Once you find the answer to that, that's when you change the thought by rewriting it to a more helpful one. So say, for instance, the thought is, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to be successful like that person. So I've listened in. That's me catching the thought. Now I'm going to challenge it. Is it true? Do I have any evidence to support this? No, it's not true. I have no evidence. I've made it this far in life. I've been quite successful. I don't actually have any evidence. So then you're going to change it. So you tell yourself, I am good enough. I am going to be successful. And you have to keep saying that to yourself. You can do it in the form of affirmations, repeating it to yourself. You can write it down over and over again. Only then do you start to rewrite it. You start to rewire your neural pathways that have been telling you you're not good enough. So catch, challenge, change. That's another practical tool. So there are a few tools you're going to use. So you have to create quietness in your life so that you can actually start listening in, tuning in, developing your self-awareness, listening to those negative thoughts. Then you're going to simply just ask yourself, is it true? Yes or no. Then you can after that, develop the concept think. So is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? And then the other tool is the catch, challenge, change. So catch your negative thought, challenge it by asking, is it true? Do I have evidence? And then change it. So rewrite that thought to a positive one and then repeat it to yourself, write it down. And then the other two things I mentioned was journaling and meditating. So both of those practices really get you listening in, tuning into what your thinking is. And only then when you tune in and listen to it, that's when you can change it. So I hope this podcast made sense to you. I hope you got something from it. I hope you're starting to understand how your negative thinking is actually really affecting your physical and mental health. Like, honestly, a negative thought can lead to, eventually down the line, it could lead to something like heart disease or liver disease or a problem with your kidneys or your digestion or skin issues, okay? And it's all because of your nervous system, your stress response, your brain thinking that those negative thoughts are threats, and it's initiating the stress response. And if you're having so many negative thoughts and you're not actually aware of them, that they're just running in the background, it's going to keep you in those stress response states, and that's when your health comes into trouble. Okay, so you need to develop your self-awareness, you need to start listening to yourself, you need to catch those negative thoughts and start to change them. Start to rewire your brain, start to think new thoughts, okay? So many of us are going around living on autopilot. We're thinking the same things all the time, but you are in control. You get to decide what you think. Even if those negative thoughts come up, just don't let them be there. Stop them and say something different to yourself. Change them to more positive ones, and you will change your world. You'll change your health. You'll change the way you show up in the world to other people and to yourself. Thank you so much for tuning into my first solo podcast. If you have any ideas of what you would like me to cover in future episodes, please do get in touch on social media or by email. All my details are on my Instagram page, and I'll leave a link to my website as well.